There's a storm a-brewing, and it's headed for Hutton. The big aerial is bent over at an alarming angle. Ships are being buffeted by high solar winds, and the hangar door is banging like, well, like a hangar door in a storm. Station maintenance teams have shut the shutters, except one, which is banging in the solar wind and giving everyone on B-deck a headache. The weather outside is frightful, but inside Hutton, it's less than delightful. As solar storm Ginger Ron batters the exterior of the station, we have another problem on the inside. Hutton's heating system has gone on the blink again, and the engineers are trying to source the right diameter brass pipe to fit onto a boiler, which has been patched so many times no one is sure now what it was originally made of. The drinks in the bar have been developing a little DIY ice, chipped apparently from the ceiling where icicles have been forming. The usual denizens of the station have been putting on a few extra layers, and there have been reports of a treacherous conditions in the corridors. Floor mopping guy has taken to patrolling the halls with a portable hairdryer alongside his mop, and the bucket is full of grit to put down to prevent any zero-g mag boot to black ice slippage incidents, with commanders passing like a maglev train with dodgy brakes. In the Hutton administration offices, we had to send out a Momus Bog Spaniel search party after a snowdrift developed against one of the walls. Concerns that Little Grey was lost proved to be well-founded after a tunnelling bog spaniel found that Little Grey was now a little blue and chattering uncontrollably. The feckless Hutton radio presenter was promptly revived with a swift application of a Tunnock's caramel wafer, hot water bottle, and a nice cup of Ovaltine before being transported to Studio 6, where he was dumped in front of a console and told to dance monkey dance. Across the studio, wrapped up warm against the weather, and after blowing on their hands to get the circulation moving a little, someone in a big parka with the hood up presses a button and through chattering teeth says,
"Our mics are live." Welcome to Hutton News. I'm Sandy Grevis and I've put the electric fire on at 3 bars.
I'm Wilma Fingerdoo and I'm wearing a pink unicorn snooty to keep warm.
I'm Mia Harkins and I'm hibernating in a cardboard box until it all blows over.
I'm Norma Snuckers and I'm having a lovely cup of hot chocolate and a Tunnock's caramel wafer.
I'm Mike Roch Burns and I have a mill drop on the end of my nose.
Right, let's get on with these headlines before I get frostbite. One of our community managers is missing.
Future fabulousness for fashion followers.
Going green, but not in an eco-friendly way.
And the usual insightful dissection of the state of the BGS.
First this evening, following hot on the heels that the January update from the Pilots Federation is not happening this week, and indeed did not happen as originally expected, boffins at the Orbital have been analysing the notification of the update schedule and noticed something strange. In a complicated encryption, which involved hiding a message in capital letters at the start of every sentence, which is about as complicated as our current team of boffins can manage, the message reads, "Bad brewer, kidnapped, send help." As for finding out who has been kidnapped, we delved into the station records reports over at Shinrata and discovered a rather innocuous security report from a resident of the station that they had been awakened by the sound of an enraged bear. Another that someone in a black mask was seen sealing what looked like a pygmy Epinurus bird egg into an escape pod. Putting two and two together, and of course noticing that a certain commander, Chuck Handgun, had been missing in action for a number of weeks, we came to the conclusion that their chief spokesperson has indeed been taken hostage. As for the culprit, with the news today that the Brewer Corporation was planning on unleashing their latest development, the colonisation ship, on the galaxy, we've come to the conclusion that they've taken the Pilots Federation Communications Supremo hostage for a nefarious combination of watching endless videos of people planting flags in the ground and a cruel and unusual torture. One which your average trucker normally does to themselves for unknown reasons, involving hauling endless streams of goods to a big floating tin can. Now, colonisation is not, as some people who need finger spaces between words attest, something to do with converting something fantastic into a big steaming pile of bio-waste. Nor is it the insertion of a pair of carefully stacked dots in front of something. It appears that the bubble will be expanding. Humanity is heading outwards, and the Brewer Corporation needed to ensure that there were A, no leaks, and B, if there were leaks, that the right person was properly informed as to what leakage they could take and when. Covert operatives operating within the confines of the Brewer Corporation's headquarters have leaked video footage of our good friend and chieftain lover, Chuck Handgun, strapped to a metal chair with toothpicks keeping his eyes wide open, head strapped back and eyes focused on a big screen of notes. For some reason, a person keeps asking him how many lights there are, but we think that's just for shits and giggles. Hutton have dispatched a crack extraction team in the hopes that Chuck can be rescued in time for next month's live broadcast, and before his brains turn into hastily programmed mush suitably only to jabble... I'm sorry, I'll try that again. Before his brains turn into hastily programmed mush suitable only to jabber the words nav beacon over and over and over again. More news from the rescue attempt coming as soon as we have it.
Talking of things that are a bit leaky, Eddie Lee Wise and Sons, plus his daughters, have let images of their latest clothing range accidentally loose on the galaxy. Their latest concoction, the Activity Attire for the Man About Town on the Go, is available in a single or double-breasted variant with three or four button variants. This innovative outerwear might look like it's the kind of thing you'd wear to a modern business meeting over an open neck shirt or blouse and with a pair of natty slacks. But it's packed with the latest outdoor person's equipment for survival in the hairiest of hikes. It's fabricated from nanofiber weave, which is said to be resistant to being torn by branches ripped by bouldering or even attacks by the Kwakaunam. Maybe I'll try that again. Kwakaunam. The territorial badges. Not quite bulletproof, but it would certainly stop a well-aimed pointy stick from perforating the wearer. Blessed with pockets marked trail mix, survival blanket, mosquito repellent, this natty jacket has even got a knife hidden in the lapel. Water-soluble buttons that sterilise just about anything. For goodness sake, don't eat one, especially if you're not ever planning to have something progeny. And a coil of... Oh, children... Oh, coil of filament fishing wire around each cuff. Available in blue, navy blue, dark blue, light, late night sky blue, the range is compatible with just about any pair of lightly coloured slacks. Eddie Lee Weiss, number one son, or was it his daughter? I don't know. Was at pains to point out that they were also releasing a range of footwear, which at the touch of a button goes from officer chic to mountain hiker. They've organised a stunt fashion shoot on a side of a particularly leery looking volcano with their rather rugged looking models. Starting at an informal soiree in the wooded lowlands of the mostly dormant volcano before being picked spotted hiking through the dense brush with a big chopper. We don't recommend you galnet it, and then clamber up the steep side of a caldera. What on earth is that? To pose heroically at the rim. I guess it's a part of a volcano. Who knows?
Yeah.
The name of this exciting new clothing range, the Trailblazer. Yes, you heard that. Trailblazer. Yeah. Arriving February 26th from all good Eddie Lee Wise and Sons, plus his daughter's outlets.
Mixer Hutton, fresh from a lick of new paint and welding up all the holes that Fog the Mighty and his or her or their mighty minions left in the superstructure. It adds to the ramshackle ambience of the place. Have taken a turn for the green in recent weeks. With hauliers scouring the space lanes, nearby remnants of combat zones and the area around Aldin for salvage to restart mug production, a bumper load of frameshift drive plates has made its way to the mug processing facility, ready to be melted down and reformed into the galaxy's most prized rare item, the fabled Hutton mug. Quality control teams have been noticing that with the most recent batch having been produced under certain lids, there's something odd about the latest batch. Normally only visible when you squint slightly in certain coloured lights, under the nearby presence of frameshift energies, these mugs have been exhibiting a mild low-light luminescence which can only be described as disturbingly green. Not a beautiful, freshly mown grassy field left ready for Alvin's next walk is kind of green, nor a pine fresh green. This is an entirely different shade of green. The kind of shade of green people turn when they realise that the year in the best before date on their Mogushian beast feast isn't this year or last. The feast that they've just eaten. The kind of green colour that precedes the yelling at the porcelain intercom and making Thargoid Titan noises at the ceramic megaphone. A number of reject mugs have been subjected to destructive safety assessment and under controlled conditions, powered and added to the food of a number of mod sufferers before strapping them to the outside of a Mandalay expedition to see what happens. The good news is that these iridescent, viridescent, luminescent, verdant drinking receptacles appear to maintain their warming properties at just the right temperature when in supercruise, and that their previous properties when it comes to curing mods appeared unaffected. Microanalysis of the batches have identified a small problem when standard melted frameshift ingots are mixed with the remnants of Guardian frameshift boosters, however, which when then turned into mugs has the unfortunate side effect of turning an innocuous, albeit green glowing, cotyliform drink holder into a hand grenade. New centrifuges are being installed in the mug production facilities over forthcoming days, and staff are reminded that all mugs should be tested before sale. Customers are reminded of the small print related to safety side effects of excessive mug usage. If you suspect that your batch of Hutton mugs might be Guardian reinforced, we recommend not putting one in a dishwasher, and whatever you do, do not drop it. Not unless you're wearing those special Kevlar undergarments.
Right, welcome to the Hutton BGS bit, where we sneak up in the Situation Room staff and tie their shoelaces together while they're not looking. We have expanded into LHS 1050, where the Tika Elite Altruist Bagging Cooperative or teabaggers live? Well, I've never heard of them before, but apparently they have a presence in 82 systems. It looks like they're still active, so we'll have to behave ourselves while we're here. The system's actually quite nice. Mainly gas giants, sun-ringed, with icy bodies all round, and a big orbis to get any shopping you might want. We have 17 systems above the 60% influence limit this week, which does narrow things down a bit as far as activity goes. The booms are in Kokari and 36 Ophiuchi. Wolf 359 is still in infrastructure failure. Investment continues in Banner Star along with Civil Liberty. Must be a big sale on Ansemers there. And apart from that, it's just business as usual. But what's it all mean? Well, you want to truck it? Then truck it to Barnard Star to maximise your profits, or truck medical supplies into Wolf 359. If you want to mission run, then mission run in Barnard Star, Kokari, or 36 Ophiuchi. And if you want to shoot it, well, you're out of luck. Sorry, pal. And that's it for this week's Hutton BGS bit.
Well,
bellissimo.
You stole my thunder.
Who me?
Who did?
Not you. No, Mr. Crevis. I was to do the message, and he stole my thunder.
Oh, you were braced and ready, and you just didn't shout.
I was actually braced and actually nearly ready. I tried to stop myself, but there you go. My time will come. My time in the sunshine.
Yeah, it'll be about 6 months though.
Yeah,
hang on, wait a minute. You're in North Britain. You're not going to get any sunshine.
We had sunshine today. We had actual sunshine today.
It doesn't count as sunshine if you still need to wear a parka.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's parka weather. It is sunshine though. I mean, you're getting vitamin D from it. No heat, but vitamin D.
That's only because you're so pale. Yeah, never mind.
Yeah. Yeah, to anything, we just soak it in. But there you go. Right.
So it's the last Thursday of the month, which means two things. It means it's Green Room Week. Quick note
Hooray!
To everybody listening. It's Green Room Week, so run away screaming at the end of the show before we grab you and
please.
Drag you in to talk to us. And secondly, it means that yesterday was most likely the last Wednesday of the month. So it was Frontier Livestream Month, yeah?
No.
Nope.
No.
No.
No. No.
No.
No.
So instead of a Frontier Unlocked, it was just an FU?
Yeah, pretty much. apparently, someone who is much cleverer than I seemed to notice that the schedule starts in February. It's as though they never planned for one to be in January. So it's not like it's been cancelled or anything. It just was never happening in January. I'm assuming Arthur's away for a summer winter holiday somewhere, you know.
No, he's tied to a metal chair with his eyes propped open, being shown the text of what he is or isn't allowed to say on the next live stream.
We
covered that in the news.
All
perfectly clear.
Yes.
Perfectly reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
And perfectly honest and absolutely true. Yes. 100% true, totally based in fact.
All of it.
All of it. Every word.
You know what else is also very true?
Go on.
Sean Pond is very old.
Very, very old. I hear he's only 21, but the number base to make it 21 is actually quite old in its own right now. So
yeah,
if he's very old, what am I?
Oh, you're eternally youthful.
You're vintage, like a fine wine. He's just old.
Yeah. He's matured like a mouldy cheese.
Yeah, but you know what that means, don't you? When it was his birthday that recently. Everybody ready and tuned up?
Are we ready?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. me.
Yo.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Sean. Happy birthday to you.
And many more.
And if that doesn't put him off ever listening again,
like
nothing will.
Yeah.
Oh, look. We got spaceships on our stream already.
Oh, we have.
We?
Who put that there? That shouldn't be there. Get rid of that spaceship.
That not should be there.
You spoiled it now.
Spoiler alert, a spaceship did something.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, space news. Yes.
And relax.
And breathe and take the cotton wool out of your ears. It's safe again now. So, no live stream. No live stream. It's disgraceful, this live stream. And they've got stuff to talk about as well.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you were going to say, so, space news?
So, space news?
Yeah, space news, let's go.
Space news. Article 1.
Mm-hmm.
Go pop.
Oh, spaceship go boom.
Yeah. Spaceship go boom.
World's biggest firework turns into firework.
Yes.
Very, very, very pretty re-entry, though.
Oh, yeah, look at
it would be pretty. Well, it is pretty. And it was especially pretty from the aircraft that had to go around it.
Have we got there flight paths of the aircraft? No, sadly, it's not in the article. Yeah, there's
not that one. I put another article in for that as well. But it was a mess. It was air traffic control got very excited in terms of having to
divert
flights around that. And I suspect the Federal Aviation Authority are going to have something to say about this one.
No, probably not, actually, because it was all completely within the path that they had marked down for it.
I don't think exploding and then falling out of the intended path.
That is why they have an ever-widening path. There was an exception because it exploded. But where it landed was entirely within the range of where it was expected to land if it exploded. Everything is probably fine.
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
I don't quite understand how they had or why they still had to divert things if they already had this plan in place of don't fly there.
Because they didn't actually expect it to fall out of space. Now, can I get the other one up? No, it's deciding to sulk at me. Why are you sulking at me, you horrible device? Because I pressed the wrong button. Who let me push the buttons? Who let me push the buttons?
I made you do it because I'm not set up yet.
Yeah, so Rocket Launch challenges Elon Musk's space dominance.
No, we're still on the first one. There's the flight plans.
Are we still on the first one?
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go. There's the flight radar.
You can see them all going round in circles.
Yeah, I remember watching that launch. That was 2 weeks ago, just after the show. Was it Litho 21? I can't remember.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and the whole chat was just zooming. They were just blowing up with telemetry, because everyone had noticed that the altimeter had stopped updating.
Yes, it came to a sudden dead stop. It wasn't changing velocity. It wasn't changing altitude. Usually not a good sign. And just before that happened, the engine started going out one at a time. Also usually not a good sign. But sadly, it wasn't a good sign.
No. But then they kind of knew that with the rocket anyway, didn't they? They were kind of hoping they could do more with it, but, you know, there's always stretch goals whenever they launch one of these, isn't there?
They stretched that one out. They stretched it out to quite a few miles long.
Yes.
But at least they caught the booster.
That was
spectacular that was and cool good. And good. Yeah. Not even any damage to that. It was an absolutely seamless catch. Really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was watching it on YouTube on my phone in bed, and I was like, ooh. It was very good.
So next up, another big rocket.
Yes. Yeah. Not as big.
No.
There's a chart further down.
Ooh, charts. I like charts.
Yeah, it's got Space Shuttle.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that's
Falcon
a long one.
Heavy,
It's they literally are comparing
comparing the length of their
secondary school locker room all over again.
Yeah.
it's the fact that it's called Glenn as well. It's like look how big Glenn is compared to everybody else.
Yeah, Glenn with two N's. it's a whopper.
At least it's not the same shape as New Shepherd, though.
Yeah,
with
it's not as penis shaped as the other one.
With the bulbous tip, the capsule on the head of it. Yeah.
But I didn't know why Starship was bigger than a Saturn V, though.
Oh yeah. Heavy lift capacity as well.
Yeah. Oh no, by... it says here max payload to low Earth orbit in kilograms. So. The new Glenn's got 45,000.
That's slightly misleading because in Starship's case, it includes Starship. So that's payload over and above the mass of Starship itself.
Yes. Okay.
So, which is quite a chunky piece of steel in its own right.
Yes, yes.
But okay. I guess technically if you're carrying cargo, then Saturn V still wins.
Because if you look at New Glenn, that's 45,000.
Mm-hmm. It's less than Falcon Heavy.
Yeah.
It's taller, though. Sorry, longer. I'm sure longer is a more appropriate word.
Yes.
I don't know. Would it be... What's the scale say? Does it say high or long?
It just says...
I don't know. There's no bananas.
Yeah.
Oh.
And you can't check the girth. You can only visually compare the girth.
Does that matter?
Did you know, so this is kind of for the apology officer, that there's a constant number that if you multiply it by the diameter, you get that number.
So you multiply...
Is it zero?
No, it's pi. It's about just over 3.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about an engineering situation. It's 3 exactly.
Yes.
It's close enough for an approximation.
Is it 3.1459 or something like that? And then they just make it up for their own.
Yeah, they just make it up from
3.1415926 54, etc.
Yes.
Good effort.
Show off.
Yeah.
Yes. The problem is I know you're right, so I can't really say you're a show off.
I'm not even getting into it. I guessed it after 3.14, I was guessing. Yeah. So they don't, I mean, some of them seem to be fatter than others. They can't all be working to that.
Girthier. No. If you measured the width of it on screen there against the scale, assuming they are to scale, and multiply that by pi, you'd get the girth.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't do that.
How did they get onto this topic?
Okay, so in apology officer language, it's thick with 2 C's.
Yes, thank you. Thick with 2 C's. That I can just about manage. Okay. I understand what's being explained to me now. It took a while, but now I get it.
I think we'd probably be better move on to something about a chocolate bar.
Let's do
something
that.
Something less phallic.
It's almost like I chose that story for...
That's how I used to
reasons.
Do
that. Reasons.
Yeah.
That's how I used to
Followed
do
by the Amazon slaps Ellen's face. Well, anyway, we've moved on now.
Yes, we ignored that bit in the script.
So, yes, they found blocks of life in a chocolate bar.
They found blocks of potential building bits of life in a Kinder Bueno. An asteroid Bennu.
Bennu. Oh.
Same thing. They made it the same thing.
Yeah.
Look what happens when a dyslexic person makes a word joke.
Bennu, Bueno, sounds the same to me.
Yeah, that
was acceptable, that one.
Yeah,
it was
that was acceptable.
The thing is, I mean... You get an average of 8 insect parts in every chocolate bar.
Yeah.
You know. What?
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a maximum amount of feces you can have in a chocolate bar as well.
That's true, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, but most foods. You can have a tiny piece of shit in it, but you can't have too much.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
I think it's 60 insect pieces per 100 grams of chocolate. So 2 chocolate bars worth is the limit.
But they don't say what an insect piece is, though. I mean, that could be a fruit fly's leg, or it could be a whole giant stag beetle.
Yeah.
But to be fair, if it's got raisins in it, you're never going to notice.
On average,
no, that's the rabbit raisins.
Insect parts.
It has how many on average?
Eight. 8 insect parts on average per chocolate bar.
Yeah, but let's face it, insect parts are not very big. But anyway, we're distracted by chocolate. This asteroid has life in it.
No, it doesn't. It has building blocks for life in it. Just to be absolutely clear, nobody has found life.
I was going to say, just to be also absolutely clear, it could be the insect parts that they're detecting.
No, this is the sample that took them about 3 months to get into because they couldn't open the container because it was so well sealed to make sure that no insect parts got in.
There's no friction.
It's the one that
there's all friction.
It's the one that when it bumped the asteroid Bennu to pick up its tiny little sample, it sank over a meter into the surface. Which it wasn't meant to do.
I'd forgotten it'd done that because it was so soft.
It was the one that when they got the container back, there was more material stuck to the outside of the container's seal than had been their target for actually gathering material. The inside was so absolutely stuffed full that it didn't all fit and it jammed the lid shut. And this was all now stored in a completely hermetically sealed, absolutely tight against everything environmental chamber with their glove box attachments.
You can't exactly go at it with an angle grinder, can you?
Well, no, they couldn't go at it with anything because there weren't any tools in there apart from the beautiful little Allen key that was this poncy little thing that they were meant to be using to take the lid off. They had to custom machine a tool, sterilise all of the pieces of the tool, put the pieces in through the rather small opening, one at a time, sterilising them as they went in, and then reassemble the tool inside the glove box so that they could use it to force the damn thing open.
Wow. And all they found was a beetle's ass cheek.
That's the one.
Oh, dear. Do you know what? If it wasn't for this, they'd be out doing destructive stuff. They need to be kept busy, these people.
Yeah. What they did find was loads and loads of amino acids and minerals that suggest that at some point it was wet, like part of an ocean planet or planetoid, which is very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm. It's also interesting. It's got ammonia in it. You know how them Thargoids like the ammonias?
No.
Maybe they were the insect parts.
I know with a lot of the kind of objects that turn into comets and things like that, there's a lot of them that they think possibly the bigger planets, like I think Saturn moved a bit and Jupiter did as well. As they moved about the solar system and its early formation, they kind of clipped a few things.
Well, shook them around rather than clipped them. Anything that clipped Jupiter or Saturn became Jupiter or
Jupiter
Saturn.
Jupiter or Saturn, yes. but they reckon that, you know, like a few things got ripped apart anyway. Mm-hmm. And you'd probably reform somewhere as asteroids or, you know.
Yeah.
And, yeah. There we go. That's good.
It's very pretty in colour, isn't it?
Mm. Yes, look.
Well, it's a false colour image, I suspect.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... I don't think it actually looks as fluorescent as that.
Well, it's an electron microscope image, so they're always false colour. You don't get photons at that scale.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Yes, no. Yeah. Okay. They don't have photons. How come I can see it?
Electrons. Moving on. Oh, another one with a terrible name.
It's because I did it.
Nice.
No, just the dark oxygen. It's just a really, really bad name for what it is.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I posted this one specifically was I wondered how long it would take for dark oxygen, if they decide that it is actually a thing, to end up as a material in Elite, and what it would be used for.
It sounds like an expansion for Elite.
Yeah, it's totally a thing, but it's oxygen in the dark.
Yes.
This is why it's a bad name. When you turn the light out as you're going to bed tonight, you'll be surrounded by dark oxygen.
But I don't think it's something to do with it being compressed under pressure or something.
No, it's the fact it's found in very, very deep ocean areas.
It's not even as exciting of a story as I thought it was. No, that's disappointing.
There's lumps of metal that are catalyzing oxygen out of the water at very, very deep places.
What you're saying is you don't read the stories before you decide to put them
I read it and I thought, ooh! Dark oxygen, solid oxygen. Well, that would be really useful. And now I'm getting told I've clearly
How long have you been doing news and you've just walked that out? Nobody reads any of the stories.
It's really, really interesting because up until this, it was thought that basically only photosynthesis produced oxygen, so that any life that depended on oxygen needed to be following up on the cyanobacteria and, well, you know, plants.
Yeah.
But they've discovered that it can be naturally produced by geological processes in very, very deep oceans, which is where they also think life may have formed in the first place, which gets quite interesting.
Would explain possibly why life formed there in the first place.
Yep. And also something that's likely to be found deep in the oceans of certain icy moons. Europa.
But another thing is that then
Triton
could be quite useful as a thing on its own.
Mm.
If you can synthesize that process, you could start creating.
But something about scientists is they just love the word dark. I mean, first it was dark matter, which, okay, yeah, it's matter that we can't see and nothing's lighting it up. So dark matter, yeah, that's not terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
Then it was dark energy, which, well, may or may not exist, but may or may not be energy and is actually more of an acceleration than anything else and certainly isn't dark. It's just, yeah, why call it dark
energy?
Well, it's not dark and it's not energy. So, yeah, let's call it dark energy. And now there's dark oxygen, which is oxygen that's made in the dark.
In the dark, yeah.
But it's just oxygen. Okay. Scientists, they shouldn't be allowed to name things. Actually, speaking of scientists not being allowed to name things, this week I discovered that some of the scientists where I work were using quantitative gravimetric analysis.
Quantitative?
Quantitative gravimetric analysis. Do you know what this actually means?
That means they're making it up.
They were weighing something.
There is.
Oh, I do that a lot.
Quantitative gravimetric analysis.
Weighing something. What's your experience in quantitative gravimetric analysis?
Mm-hmm. I quantitatively gravimetrically analyse myself most mornings to see how much of a burgers I've now got. No, about once a week.
To see whether you've gathered mass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, to see what the...
To prevent you getting more mass.
No, I just eat the food and then take a sugar away. That before. Yeah. So, moving on again. What's next up on these? Oh, yes, a really good story next.
I can't see this getting us in trouble at all.
The title is very Hutton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But in space. For the night shift, Trump is another word for fart in English, a slang word, if you will.
It's a good job he changed his name by deed poll from Dump to Trump, isn't it? I mean, it would be quite upsetting if he hadn't done that.
But this is the slightly bizarre news story of how Donald Trump has decided he's going to wade in to the whole situation of our spacemen's that and ladies or something else that are stuck. But I did also note that they had been on a spacewalk making themselves useful while they were stuck on the space station. But President Trump has asked the CEO, Elon Musk, to bring the brave astronauts back, citing Biden as the cause of this problem. Nothing to do with the fact that Boeing being a company that...
I like the way you called Elon Musk the CEO and not the CEO of SpaceX. He's just the CEO of everything there.
Mm-hmm. He's the CEO of a lot of things.
He's the CEO of the world.
Who was in power when they first started?
Butch and Sonny sound like a...
But when they first started...
Like when they first started building Starliner, I guess it was probably Obama, but I think it might have been the one before. It's been going on a long time.
Way back to Bush.
I think it might. Because
so something missing from that story, I think.
Probably. But it's Gizmodo.
So they're saying a plan makes no sense. What's the actual plan?
Which plan?
Or was it just to ask SpaceX to do it?
It was tell Elon to bring them home.
Okay.
So he's sending a Cybertruck to pick them up.
Or a roadster.
What's wrong
about the plan? Like, what's bad about the plan?
There already is a plan.
Nothing. It's the plan that they announced last August when they first decided not to bring them home on the ship that they went up on.
But here's the thing. It already was the plan.
Yes.
Elon Musk was CEO of SpaceX then. Why did they not go and get them then?
Because they haven't got anything ready to launch. That's why it's being delayed from February to March. It's not ready to launch.
He's going, this is terrible, we'll go and get them. You go, well, why did you not go and get them when the first get stuck there? Why are you waiting till Donald Trump asks you?
That's because Trump wasn't president at the time and couldn't ask him to do it.
No, it wasn't worth his while.
I think that's probably more the truth. It's us.
Also, nobody's going to pay him to do it any more than he was being paid to do it by sending up this particular mission anyway, so...
Yeah. Did it come back in February anyway? Or has that been further delayed?
It's been delayed to March because Elon doesn't have anything ready to launch.
So when you bring them back in March, Donald Trump's going to say, see, I did that.
Yep, within two months.
It sounds like at best that already was the plan and thus presumably did make sense. And at worst, there was a lack of asking. Like, it's...
No, it already was the plan. They are being picked up by the Crew 10, Crew 11, whatever it is, mission that's going up in February and now being delayed to March. And two of the astronauts that were going to be going up on that aren't anymore.
Yeah, I think it's just a case of nothing's actually changed.
Basically, as far as I can tell, they're still
going to do what they were going to do when they were going to do it. Nothing is different.
Yeah.
Except for a headline that says it makes zero sense now.
Yeah.
Well, no, the, it just makes zero sense because it was already a plan. It was already in place. It was already there. It was already going to happen.
Somebody said in the comments, can't decide if the party of small government is going to spend millions to bring them home 2 weeks early, or if they're just going to follow the Biden's plan and claim victory.
It could be that. It could be that they're actually going to send up an additional craft to get them.
Yeah.
Wow.
It just feels a bit confused. That's the whole situation.
Everything coming out of America is going to feel a bit confused.
Fits perfectly with the hunting, then.
Yes, I think it does. I don't understand. As a insulated Brit, shall we say, I have no idea what's going on in America right now.
That's all right. I've got quite a few American friends and they haven't got a clue either. So,
so it sounds like, I'm looking further down, it said, for this to work, as already noted, SpaceX would have to suddenly make a Crew Dragon available. So it looks like they are going to try and bring them down a bit earlier, which is easier said than done, as Space News reports the company is working to complete a new Crew Dragon spacecraft for the Crew 10 missions, which will relieve Crew 9. Makes sense. A total of 4 Crew Dragons currently exist, not including the one in development, so it's conceivable SpaceX could pull from this batch and expedite the launch of Crew 10. That said, one of these Crew Dragons is currently slated to deliver Private Axion Mission 4 through to the ISS this coming April. So, yeah, it could be that they're going to send something up a bit earlier, or they're just going to do what they were always going to do.
Not going to scroll through the comments live on stream. Yeah, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
I think before we get ourselves in lots of trouble, I think we should probably say bye-bye, Space News.
Yeah, we're not going to get in trouble. Nobody listens to this.
And there's the Space News.
Yay! Right.
Oh, I've got a bantery bit before we get too excited on the next bit.
Oh, have you?
Ooh.
Yeah. I suppose it's almost BGS-y bit. We have some commanders coming to help in our infrastructure failure.
Right.
So they are on their way to WISE as we speak. There is a new player group called Vitals. I've been wittering on the Facebook group for ages about this, so sorry if you didn't want me to tell it, but I'm doing it anyway.
No.
And basically, they're a bunch of truckers that like to haul things into systems with infrastructure failure or outbreak or all of those kind of problems, or evacuations and the like. The group's called Vitals, VITALS. Uh-huh. And yeah, they if you find a station in need, send it to them and they will send out the truckers that they've got.
Well, if they're bringing going. Stuff in for infrastructure failure, one, I would send them to Bull 359 and not Wise. But
Sorry. Yes, it is Wolf. Couldn't and they're taking it to Lomas Orbiter because that's the primary station.
Yep. And what you want in an infrastructure failure is machinery and food, interestingly. So food and machinery are the things to bring in there, but they'll know that.
So yep. Why yep. does your that. Script earlier say medical supplies?
That was the outbreak, was it not?
We got an outbreak as well.
But that's what's in Bull 359.
Ah, okay, I don't know. I told you, I just...
I'm sure if they're expecting this. I'm sure if they're expecting this, they actually look at what system they're going to and deal with it from there. So, yeah.
So,
do we have a word?
Seamless.
You like said two things at once. That was amazing.
I know they've got the seamless talent on record. They've actually got a button for it.
I know I have a button. I could press it, but you're not going to be able to hear it.
Go on, press your button.
I don't know where it's gone. It's...
Ow!
Not that one!
Well, it only plays to my ears, so this is a completely wasted exercise. Because I've not worked out the sound mixer yet, which is kind of my job. But there we go. But yes, we have a word of the week.
Ooh, what is the word of the week?
It's... I see it everyone every week. I look at it and then I just.
Do you want me to? Do you want
no,
me to say
I will do it. It's me. I will get it right. Kakistocracy.
Kakistocracy. Wow. Yes! What does that mean?
I have no idea. A state or country run by the worst, least qualified, or the most unscrupulous citizens.
And can you use it in a sentence?
Why, you just watch me. Did I do that right, Mia?
Yes, that'll do nicely, thank you.
Despite recent changes, the Federation remains in a carcastrophe.
Khaki shorts.
Think of aristocracy, but change it for khakistocracy.
No.
As in shit.
I can't join the key to the stow and it throws me off.
It's the rule. The rule of shit. Khakistocracy.
For anyone who's interested. The spelling and the meaning is coming across our Twitch stream in the form of a little ticker tape headline now.
You haven't got the phonetics, though, there.
Oh, that's a racky. Not racky.
Yeah, one C. One C for racy.
You've just put khaki stock racy.
Yep, that's... that. That's going to get the message across. That sounds like something you'd buy out of Eddie Levi's and Sons plus his daughters. You know, the khaki stock, the racy one.
For anybody who's unaware, we have a script, and currently three people are all trying to write their own version of how
that's
you
normal.
Would sound it out.
That
is normal. That's perfectly normal. Don't worry
there's
about
no,
that.
There's no listen. There's no way I'm going to try and do phonetics for you. That would be cruel.
if it's any consolation. Had the pronunciation not been completely butchered, I did have a joke about the Federation with the whole cacistocracy thing being run by an apoplectic dimba-damba.
Yes. He is an apoplectic dimba-damba, isn't he? He's probably got the wombo cropped as well.
Probably. I think we probably better move on to space facts before this descends.
I wouldn't
even lower.
Bother, it's not going to get any better.
Yeah, this is loquacious taradiddle at this point, so.
Yes. Space facts, lots of space facts that everyone to know the need to know. Think from bottom straight to your brain. Right. We'll straight on. We'll get done with the taradiddle and straight into more crapulosity. The planet Jupiter is named for the king of the Roman gods, and it's easy to see why it's the daddy. Or maybe the mummy. It's big. Well, Earth has a diameter of 12,742 kilometres, that's 7,197.5 miles in old money. Jupiter has a diameter of 139,822 kilometres, or 86,881.3 miles, compared to the Earth's 7,197. And it's 2.5 times more massive than all of the other planets in the solar system combined. Now, I don't know if that includes dwarf planets, but it certainly includes all the full-sized planets. If you want a measurement of that in bananas, it's 635,554,545 bananas, or 116,518,333 capybaras.
Is that the length or the weight?
Length, not weight-wise, length-wise. So the diameter equals that many of those. It is bright. Jupiter is the fourth brightest object in the sky after the Sun, the Moon, and Venus. It is fast. At just 9 hours and 55 minutes, Jupiter has the shortest day of any of the planets, which, considering its size, is quite remarkable. They put a ring on it. Jupiter has a ring system beginning some 92,000 kilometres above the cloud tops and stretching out to more than 225,000 kilometres from the planet. Those rings are between 2,000 and 12,500 kilometres thick. We just don't see them. I think we're kind of edge on it. It has a heart of stone. Below Jupiter's massive atmosphere, which is made primarily of hydrogen, there are layers of compressed hydrogen gas, liquid metallic hydrogen, and a core of ice, rock, and metals. It has a massive spot. The storm, which comprises Jupiter's famous giant red spot, has raged for at least 350 years. It is so large, you could fit three Earths inside it. It smells like pouring cocktail skips. There is a possibility I have made one of these facts up. I'm having a message beamed into me here. Tell me about TeamSpeak. I have to tell you about TeamSpeak. It's Green Room! Yeah, we did that, didn't we? It's a Green Room Week.
It's not a website.
ps.forthemog.com, which is not a website. It's a TeamSpeak server.
I like how you can hear the tippy tapping.
Stick it in your TeamSpeak client and go there.
You know when it's just started saying, stick it in your... I wonder where it's going.
I don't care, whatever it put, I was going to read it out, and I don't... you type it, I'll read it, I don't care. Let's do the outro for Space Facts, and then we can go on to... Space Facts, lots of space facts.
There you go. Outro to Space Facts.
That's great. Yep, and straight into CG News with Flossie.
No, we can't possibly have one of them. There's never CG News from Flossie.
No, there's never a CG. Don't worry about it. There isn't one. There never is.
No.
It's Flossie. It's Flossie. It's Flossie. It's Flossie. And the community goes.
Hello, Flossie here with this week's CG News. And guess what? We have a CG! Brewer Corporation Planetary Survey Initiative. A new planetary survey initiative has been announced by Brewer Corporation, calling for pilots to scan locations around the core systems. Speaking from the newly developed megaship Trailblazer Echo, CEO Madeleine Teague made the following announcement. Recent events have accelerated plans to explore a new age of system colonization efforts. Brewer Corporation has proudly supported ambitious projects such as the Colonia Bridge and worked with other corporations to improve and increase starports across the galaxy. Now we take another step forward in the continued march across the stars. Universal Cartographics has partnered with us to collect, analyse and process the very latest exploration data to help calibrate our metrics for optimal colonisation targets. Explorers who wish to contribute to the initiative can hand in exploration data to the Trailblazer Echo in the HIP 90578 system. Contributions will be valued by thoroughness, with full FSS scans and planetary probing completions rewarded higher. Data from the following planetary body types has been requested: rocky ice, rocky, icy, metal rich, and high metal content. Brewer Logistics is offering the following rewards. Every participant will receive a detailed surface scanner V1 pre-engineered with double expanded probe scanning radius. Participants must register at least one contribution to be eligible. Credit rewards will be distributed according to the contribution level. This started today and will run for 2 weeks. And anyone wishing to participate should sign up at the at the Megaship Trailblazer Echo. And that's it for this week's CG News.
Blossy told you what to do.
Well, thank you, Flossie. I had that No CG song all queued up and ready, but turns out we didn't need it.
Yeah, you see? Thank goodness, yeah.
Yeah. Nice to have them back again. Now let's head over to Beetlespoon and Wotherjude, and let's see if they've got any more good news for us.
Galnet News Digest, 30th of January, 3311. We read the news so you don't have to. In this week's news, we have a date for the start of colonisation. Brewer Corporation wants your exploration data, and the Seoul Tourism Authority reports record numbers visiting their latest tourist attraction.
The new era of colonisation will start on Wednesday the 26th of February, according to a tersely worded press release from the Pilots' Federation. Commanders, famously keen to blaze their own trail, will be invited to take part in the Trailblazers Initiative, which will see a lightweight mechanism for authorising the colonisation of new star systems, using a first-come, first-served permit. There are few details as yet, but we'll bring you more when we hear it. Meanwhile, the Brewer Corporation, which manufactures Coriolis starports in collaboration with Steel Castle Incorporated, and Orbis starports with the help of Kavanagh Space Frames Limited, and which is working hard on the final designs for the new colonization carriers, has announced an initiative to fill in some of the blanks in the maps of the area immediately surrounding the human-occupied bubble. Its new megaship, Trailblazer Echo, which has been deployed to the HIP 90578 system, will be paying good prices for exploration data, especially for whole system FSS scans and for detailed surface scans. Partnering with Universal Cartographics, Brewer is particularly interested in surface scans of the sorts of planets explorers might normally skip over, including rocky, icy, rocky ice, metal-rich, and high metal content. There's apparently already enough incentive for explorers and surveyors to scan Earth-like, water, and ammonia worlds. Some commanders, who take their pledge of allegiance to their power seriously, may choose to hand in their exploration data to a Universal Cartographics outlet within their power sphere of influence. They may earn extra merits this way, but they'll miss out on the special rewards from Brewer. In addition to the financial rewards, Brewer will be rewarding all participants with a special expanded scan radius detailed surface scanner. The initiative runs for 2 weeks, so Brewer will then have 2 weeks to process all the data in time for the start of the new era of colonization.
The Seoul Tourism Authority has said it is delighted at the increased interest in the Cradle of Humanity. Now there's the remains of a massive alien mothership to visit. Famous for its planet Earth, as well as the seat of federal government at Olympus Village, and featuring relics from the dawn of the space race, including some ancient probes, the Seoul system already draws in more than its fair share of tourists. But the wreck of the Thargoid Titan, only a few hundred miles above the surface of Earth, has drawn in millions more visitors. Some are searching for the elusive Titan drive components, which are a key component for the pre-engineered SCU drive, but others are visiting just to soak up the no longer toxic atmosphere, take selfies, and celebrate our famous victory over the Thargoids. Those searching for Titan drive components are reminded that the wrecks of the 7 other Titan motherships may also be plundered for Thargoid technology. All of these wrecks are haunted by former AX pilots who can't believe there's nothing on the scanner and who are sure the Thargoids will show up again any minute now.
And that's this week's Galnet News. Galnet News, we read the news so you don't have to.
That's it for Galnet News Digest, thanks to Beetlejuice and Motherspoon. And now we go from Galnet News Digest to the Galnet Rares with Amelia Hawk.
As soon as I find the button.
The blue one.
You are about to listen to Amelia Hawk. She tries all the galaxy's most dangerous rare items, so you don't have to.
Creatures in the galaxy that nature clearly designed while in a particularly bad mood. And then there's the Kwawakanan territorial badger. A creature so unbearably cute that even the most hardened bounty hunter would hesitate before disturbing it. Found on the high-gravity metal-rich world of Kwawakana, this oddball specimen of evolutionary perfection sports a single ring around its midriff, making it look like it's permanently wearing a belt. Combine that with bespeckled eye markings, and you have an animal that appears less like a fearsome predator and more like a mild-mannered professor of philosophy. Get it out. While many creatures adapt to the presence of others, the Kwawakanan territorial badger refuses to engage in such nonsense. They maintain fiercely defended territories, which means that even two badgers rarely share the same stretch of land, let alone an ecosystem. Attempts to breed them in captivity have resulted in damaged enclosures, wounded researchers, and at least one very cross security officer wondering why a badger just chewed through the walling. The badger's natural intelligence makes studying it a challenge. It has been observed burying scanning equipment, rearranging trail cameras to only capture shots of its rear, and, perhaps most insultingly, sitting just out of frame when researchers attempt to record behaviour. Let's be clear. This is a badger with an attitude. The Kowakanan territorial badger hates being interrupted. The local geology being high in metal means that rocks here don't go thud when stepped on. They go clang. And when you clang in the presence of a Kowakanan territorial badger, you'd best be prepared for a sharp rebuke. Emphasis on the sharp. The claws of this creature are adapted to dig through metallic rock, which is a polite way of saying they can shred most materials softer than starship hull plating. One particularly inattentive Galnet Rares assistant, who shall remain nameless for legal reasons, even if he looks a lot like Steve, once got too close while the badger was mid-nap and discovered firsthand that its preferred warning system involves a lightning-fast swipe and a few hours of regret in a medical bay. Okay, yes, it was Steve. Steve, ever the optimist, suggested a closer look at the burrow, hypothesizing that maybe, just maybe, this was all exaggerated. He's spending the next week considering the phrase, curiosity killed the cat. Although Mooncake disagrees with this assertion entirely, by the way, and had instead chosen to engage in a game of tag with a badger 15 times her size. And somehow she wasn't losing. Anyway, after narrowly dodging this academic discussion with an irate badger, we made our exit. Noting that while the Kowakanan territorial badger may look like it should be leading a university lecture, it is in fact a short-tempered wrecking machine disguised as a stuffed toy. Unlike certain rare creatures that produce valuable biochemicals or luxury goods, the Kowakanan territorial badger has no known commercial application. Its fur is too thick to be practical for clothing, its diet makes it unfit for culinary exploration, and its habit of lacerating anyone who interrupts its routine makes it completely unsuitable as a pet. This means that even the most eccentric collectors have failed to find a reason to trade in them, beyond the occasional unwise attempt at domestication. The Kowakanan territorial badger is rare because it wants to be. It inhabits an inhospitable world, actively resists observation, refuses to tolerate other creatures, and has no practical use other than being the single most deceptively adorable landmine in the galaxy. And if Mooncake's still smug expression is anything to go by, it also doesn't appreciate losing a game of tag. Final verdict. Looks. Adorable beyond reason. Temperament. Do not disturb, ever. Claws, rated unreasonably sharp by the Xeno Survival Society. Sound of rocks underfoot, clang. If you ever visit Kowakanan, tread lightly, or better yet, hover for science.
They certainly after sound cute, though.
I was going to say, after God knows how many times I had to say Kowakanan, I got hung up on the word philosophy.
Yeah.
Philosophy.
Yeah.
Philosophy.
Oh, philosophers.
Is that when they need restuffing, that you philosophers?
Yeah. Yeah. Is that Kowakanan? Is that
Kowakanan.
How you say it?
Yeah,
Kowakanan.
Kowakanan.
Kowakanan. Do.
Yeah. Yeah, the Kowakanan territorial badgers live in Kowakanan. Why does it mention that they're territorial badgers? Are normal badgers not territorial?
Not that territorial.
Yeah, that's fair.
Sudden silence.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like that one.
Badgers.
Mm.
Yeah, it was good. It's deceptively adorable landmines.
Yes. Yeah, that's interesting. Mm. Oh, fantastic. At least don't get pregnant this week.
Thank you.
We have a green room, but do we have a green room?
We have a dilemma.
No.
We have a new record for lack of green rumours. maybe the smell in there has finally started putting them off once we left the door to keep the three open.
It's them that caused the smell in the first place.
I was going to say, we do have, like, have you noticed that we have rooms of penance and reflection now?
Yes.
We've got the room of shut up and cubicle three.
Mm-hmm.
The room of shut up has been there for a while and it does exactly what it says on the tin.
Mm-hmm. So,
is that where I ended up earlier when I gave Litho beef?
No, I just threw you back on the landing pad briefly. So, I mean, we can talk to each other, talk to ourselves for a while if anybody's got anything interesting to say they think the stream might like to hear. Or we can just all get some sleep for once.
I like the idea of sleep. I'm not likely to get much sleep at a weekend.
I'm just trying to think of fun facts.
That are safe for radio.
Oh, I've got one.
Oh, that's a different category.
Your poo is 33% solid bacteria.
Speak for yourself.
33%?
Yeah, a third of that job is bacteria. That's amazing, considering how small bacteria are.
Okay, I got a fun fact.
Yes.
Humans are deuterostomes, which means that when they develop in the womb, the anus forms before any other opening. Which basically means that at one point, we were all nothing but an asshole.
And we still are.
Some people still are.
Some people are.
We haven't. Some people, yes.
Yeah, some people never get past that stage.
Yeah.
Right.
I am one of those.
Goodness me.
Is it time
for... Vitals move fast. Sorry. Yeah. Vitals are... pulling in tears their fleet carrier into Wolf 359 already. So
cool.
These guys don't hang about.
No, they're stocking up with supplies and they will ship it in. So I imagine if you find tears as the carrier, you can probably make yourself a tidy profit by shipping things off of that if they let you on. So have fun with that. If you want to go trucking, you got some guys to go and help do the trucking with.
Yes, that is
excellent.
Good.
Thank you very much to them.
Well done, then. That's a great thing you do.
Yeah, I mostly joined it because it means when I join and I'm like, I don't know what to do today, I can go and do something that feels vaguely satisfying.
Yeah. Let profit from the misery of others.
So I've not worked out how to make the satisfying noise of blowing up an asteroid like what Amenia likes to do.
Yeah.
I like blowing up asteroids like a fat kid loves cake.
Fat kid loves blowing up cake.
like a fat kid blows up when he has too much cake.
Yes, one of those cakes where it's actually a balloon in the middle.
That reminds me. For Amelia, I looked up. Well, I tested what was the French for asteroid go boom, or close enough.
I do have a French person in the room.
Well, it wasn't asteroid go boom, but it's what the COVAS is. When you stick the thingy onto the asteroid, you know, the
when you stick the thingy on the what's name and set it off so it go boom boom.
Hold on, I'm going to get an actual translation.
When the seismic charge hits the asteroid, the French COVAS.
No, that sounds like a euphemism.
says plasma de compte avant l'explosion.
Mm.
Which I think it's
something official. Explosion.
Yeah, plasmont obviously it's kind of like placement or setting. Decompt, I believe, is countdown. So compt is count.
Yeah.
And decompt is probably a countdown.
Setting countdown
and avant l'explosion is before the explosion. Yeah.
Second countdown to detonation.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, yeah, plasmod de comp level. L'explosion.
Have you ever thought of recording a Kovas?
Yeah.
No. and it could just go... Nah.
All I can think of now is the Esperanto letters in the Red Dwarf.
I was going to say, it's not Leo.
I've got Leo somewhere.
I've got Leo as well. On my mining rig.
Oh, there's a post about him. Somebody said, I wish you could have, Holly. And I said, well, it's Leo. Leo's
oddly
Holly.
Enough, you can.
Yeah.
And I have actually met him at it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I saw you meeting him.
And you got the photos to prove it.
That was
I posted a picture with him, yeah.
Yeah. Norman Lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, he was very nice.
He had so much fun, he asked to come back the next year.
He did. He's looking to come back.
Speaking of which, are we allowed? I don't know if 21's still in the chat, but are we allowed to tell them the thing?
The thing.
Oh, tell us about the thing.
But I don't know if we're allowed to yet. I mean, it's there, but I don't know if we're announcing it.
Oh.
ECM this year is going to be the International Space Station. We're bringing 2 extra back in the fun bus, but.
Okay, so since you said it, the Elite Community Meet, if you go to elitecommunitymeet.info, which I really can't be bothered to type, but someone should put it in the chat, but not me.
I can try.
You'll fail.
No! It let me do it!
No.
It came out as star.
Boo!
You need to do it properly like that.
It's the same. Oh, wait, hang on. Yours is different.
No,
anyway.
It's because he's got the icon to the side of the whatever. I don't know what that means. I don't know.
He's got a sword.
A sword.
Yeah. A sword, yeah. Why does that word have a W in?
Oh, yeah, it's
why wouldn't it?
Yes. Wouldn't it?
In any case, so the venue.
Yeah, why has wood got an L in it, for that matter?
Exactly.
Lame speak.
I was going to make, when I said knock to you earlier, I was going to make a joke about that having too many K's in. But in any case, the venue for ECM 2025 has been selected and finalised.
Is it pet friendly?
No.
No.
It is.
Only for assistance.
Assistance creatures only. I believe cats. That Dave is looking at finding a pet-friendly place in close proximity, so that might be a workaround.
Anyway,
but
where is it going to be?
Up north.
I wouldn't say up north, but it's further north than the previous 2 years.
It's about as middle as middle gets.
Yeah, it's
well, it'll be Birmingham then.
It's basically Coventry. Yeah.
It's about 2.5 hours south of me, so that counts as definitely up north compared to usual.
For me, it'll be instead of about just under an hour's drive, it'll now be probably just over 2 hours' drive. But that's fair enough. There are a lot of commanders coming from much further north than that.
Not as far south as last time.
You're all in this.
It'll even things out quite a lot, I think. It should be good.
Cool.
Yeah. Looks like a good venue anyway. So, yeah, tickets will be on sale very, very soon, TM.
Mm. Nice. I've got a joke. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cow.
Interrupting cow.
Moo! I never get sold.
Oh, another fun fact.
Yes.
You can remove the stomach, the spleen, one kidney, 80% of the intestines, 75% of the liver, and still be able to survive.
Wow. And you can make a haggis with all the bits.
I was about to say, isn't that the recipe for haggis?
I had some haggis yesterday.
I had some haggis today.
Actually, you can survive if you remove even more than that, as long as you remove it from somebody else.
Yeah, you can take an eyeball out, you can remove an ear, you can, you know. I mean, you could survive technically with both the eyeballs taken out, but, yourself a bit of quality of life there.
I think we possibly need to finish up the show before Twitch takes us off air permanently on this conversation.
Dep- Depending on your orientation, you could have both of the testicles off.
Some people never started with any.
Yes, that's what I said. Depending on your orientation, what we up you are. I'm trying to think of other bits you could have. Ooh, mostly your toes.
Here's a really good fun fact.
Yeah.
The human anus can stretch up to 7 inches before taking damage. And awesome. A raccoon can squeeze into holes as tight as 4 inches.
Uh-oh.
Meaning that most people can take almost 2 full-size raccoons up their ass.
Yeah, but then you have to think of the raccoons. They're not going to go in anywhere that smells like that.
That is true.
And you know what I think of that?
Garbage is one thing. Yep.
I think I'll be off now.
Yeah. I think maybe we need.
But yeah, happy birthday, Kabod Palantir.
Yes, happy birthday, Palantir.
Happy birthday, Palantir.
Happy birthday, Palantir.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Palantir. For yesterday.
68 pounds.
Yeah. Well, he wanted the bumps.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But anyway, is anybody in a fit state to scream a very loud farewell?
I could say it normally.
Well, let's awesome. Just say it normally then. We'll do the quiet klaxon and then we'll all say it normally.
I have a sleeping mooncake on my lap, so I'd rather not be attacked. For the mug, everyone.
For the mug, everyone.
For the mug.
For the mug.
Mug, 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 mug.
Muggity mug. Mug, mug, mug.
Cargo too small. The profit margins never really mattered at all. We're gonna take the cargo where it's needed today. Super cruising all across the Milky Way. We'll take anything, anytime, anywhere. Loading out the T-Nars to the brim with grain. For the mug, yeah, you know just where we're coming from. For the mug, now everybody sing the Hutt and Trucker song. To crash into the sun. Swivel likes the pilot on the Xbox One. Alvin at the front, you know he leads us well. Trucking across the galaxy, now everybody yell.
For the mug, for the mug.
Yeah, you know just where we're coming from.
For the mug, for the mug.
Now everybody sing the Hutt and Trucker song. Today, super cruising all across the Milky Way. We'll take anything, anytime, anywhere. So shout it out loud like you don't even care.
For the mug, for the mug.
Yeah, you know just where we're coming from.
For the mug, for the mug.
Now everybody sing the Hutt and Trucker song.
For the mug, for the mug.
Yeah, you know just where we're coming from.
For the mug.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of the show. Everyone's buggered off now, so why don't you bugger off too?
Seamless.